Hey everybody, you're listening to the Good E-Reader Radio Show.
It's a beautiful day, and I went for a walk, but I saw that old dirt path where we used to talk. Where is rain? Cause some spring love again. The years have come and your hands have gone, but your land is something lost in a song. Why does the sun always remind me of you? Yes, it does. I hope a new day of what I have done. But does the sun always remind me of you? I would know that there ain't nothing but love songs on the radio. Turn on the colored days to peel away the skin. The sun will turn
to the Good E-Reader Radio Show. My name is Marcus.
And this is Mercy.
And today we're going to give you a comprehensive week in review of all the latest stories in the realm of digital publishing, tablets, slate PCs, and e-readers. The date is July the 11th, 2011. Some of the lead stories we're following for this episode of the Good E-Reader Radio Show is our Google Android Spotlight, and this is on applications for Android tablets, so we'll let you know a little bit about that. And we'll also let you guys know about a new initiative that we're starting, which is our On Location. So we'll tell you more about that. We also have news on the Motorola Zoom price slash, and also Algonquin is going to be able to give discounted ebooks along with the purchase of the trade paperback. So more on this. Let's start this edition of the Good E-Reader Radio Show with some digital publishing news.
Well, Marcus, first of all, you mentioned our On Location initiative that we'll be discussing. Thriller Fest is one of the highlights of the summer for so many writers and agents, editors, publishers, and more. Thriller Fest wrapped up this week, July 6th through 9th, at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in New York City. It was hoping to reach 800 attendees, making it one of the larger writing conferences out there, and they reached that number well before the event. So I spoke to ITW Vice President Kathleen Antrim today in an interview, and she did not mention if they had any specific numbers yet, but they are fairly certain their attendance went well over 900 conference attendees. Again, those are authors and agents, editors, and more. This conference happens to have a lot of agents on hand to receive pitches and to look over manuscripts, to meet new authors. So it's a very exciting event all around for anybody involved in the publishing industry. Their keynote speaker was actually an agent from Writer's House, who spoke about the state of digital publishing and how it's affecting ebook sales, print sales, and more. And of course, we'll talk about how some publishers like Algonquin are trying to handle that and make that transition. Thriller Fest actually had a lot of exciting things happen. R.L. Stine was featured to get the Thriller Master Award. Ken Follett, a previous Thriller Master recipient, was there to present for him. We interviewed an agent and a very successful author. We interviewed Tom Waters from Autography and talked about their presence at the event. So it's just a very exciting conference all around, and we'll have a lot of information on that conference coming up on the website this week.
It's excellent. Yeah, Thriller Fest, whereabouts was it? Do you know?
They try to keep it in the same place. This will be the sixth year that they had it, and this year, of course, was New York City. They try to hit the highlights there. When I spoke to Kathleen Antrim, she was mentioning that New York is just a really fun place to host the event because it is right in the heart of the publishing industry. They have moved it around a little bit, different years, but being so close to everything that's happening in publishing and in agents, all taking place right there in New York, they felt like they were getting a really good presence by having it there. And it was interesting. She said they had their list of 60 agents who were going to be on hand to take pitches and talk to authors. And right before the event, they still had more agents calling. Hey, do you have any room? Can we still come to Thriller Fest? Can we see some authors here? The really neat thing about this one is Ms. Antrim stressed that this is not a vendor event. There's no exhibitors. It's not like a big expo or a trade show. This particular event is all about just hanging out, meeting these people in the industry, meeting your favorite thriller writers, and just actually hanging out, talking with them. Now, there are some educational sessions where you learn things about the craft and learn about the publishing industry, but otherwise, there's no special room for the elite authors or the high-priced publishers. Everybody hangs out together, and they just get to spend several days rubbing elbows over drinks at the bar and talking. A lot of agents told me some stories about just kind of picking up snippets here and there of hearing an author talking about his new manuscript and coming over and talking to him about it.
Sounds excellent. It sounds like the type of event that we should probably do some on-location coverage for next year.
Definitely. We've already been invited. So Ms. Antrim was real fun to talk to and had some great things to talk about the event and spread the excitement about it, and really wants to see us there next year.
So while we're on the subject of events and things like that next year and even events this year, we are doing an on-location initiative here at Goody Reader, and that's mainly to make people in the industry, whether you're a writer, an author, an agent, or a publishing venture, that we are going to let people know when these events are happening. So Goody Reader right now is the definitive source for most digital publishing news. And what we're going to do going forward is we're going to let people know when these events are actually happening, usually a few weeks in advance. What a lot of these, you know, Thriller Fest and, you know, different ventures that are happening and conferences and trade shows is that a lot of them suffer from underexposure, where they're excellent events if you're in that industry. A lot of them just aren't really promoted that well. So we're going to take it upon ourselves to do a lot of the promotion for these companies, where we're not doing the promotion directly, but we just want to inform our readers when these things are happening. And we'll definitely let you know when we do these on-location events, what types of people would get the most out of these events, what types of things are going on, whether it's a trade show or a conference, or if it's like Thriller Fest, where it's very casual, people are just hanging out and talking about, you know, their books and manuscripts and things like that. So we'll definitely keep everybody informed about future events in the technology sector. And again, if you are in any of these industries, you know, you can make Goody Reader your number one destination to actually find out about all these events. Mercy, you had some news on Overdrive.
Certainly did. This week we put up an article about Overdrive's new venture to include 17 smaller press publishers on its catalog. As you know, Overdrive is, of course, the leading source of e-lending library content for libraries around the country to 15,000 partner libraries who are venturing out into e-book lending. Overdrive has had some really great backlist titles and some public domain titles, and now they've added a lot of smaller press titles. They started with O'Reilly Media quite some time ago, and one of the things that they've been very proud of is the status, the DRM-free status of a lot of their books, meaning the digital rights management that's been cleaned off and the books are just ready to lend. They are under the one user, one checkout model, so that means that if I'm a person who has the ebook this week, nobody else can check it out from that library until I return it or until it disappears from my device. And that has been taken off of a lot of these titles. So they're offering a lot of wider range of options for libraries to lend out. Of course, that meant they were using the backlist titles, the public domain titles. Now they're coming up with some new books. And of course, they are from smaller presses who do just want to get some exposure and get their authors' works out there. But it's going to be a win-win situation all around for the readers, the authors, the publishers, and of course, the library. And then again, of course, for Overdrive itself. With its upcoming full launch of the Overdrive Win platform, this should be a really seamless integration into its current catalog, making it a lot easier for libraries to use. One thing that we keep coming back to is the great white whale of the digital publishing industry, the rumor of the Amazon compatibility with EPUB 3. Overdrive has released a statement that these books and all these titles will be compatible with the Kindle devices that so many readers have. That's been a source of frustration for libraries right now, because if I'm a Kindle owner, I can't borrow any of the books that they're currently getting from Overdrive. And so Overdrive has promised that very soon that the Kindle will be compatible. So again, kind of fueling that rumor that Amazon's going to be making some changes to its platform.
And we initially broke this rumor probably about a month and a half ago about how many publishing partners that we've been interviewing, that who should remain nameless at this point because we don't want to get anybody into trouble, but they have all said that Amazon has told them to hold off on specific deals, and a lot of deals that were in the works were kind of up in limbo because Amazon was waiting to fully unveil their new EPUB integration for all of their e-readers and for their store. And we had heard from some of our users that this was one of the reasons why the new agreement between Smashwords and Amazon weren't signed yet, because they were holding off because of the EPUB announcement. And so they wanted to, what we've heard from some of the users close to the situation was that Smashwords was kind of holding off signing a new deal with Amazon because they wanted to get a firm understanding on the direction Amazon was going to go with the EPUB integration. Going back to what you said about DRM-free or digital rights management-free ebooks with Overdrive, do you see more users being attracted to lending for books that actually don't have any DRM in them?
I do. One of the things that came out with all the great news about Pottermore, the interesting thing were all the comments from readers. If you remember, Pottermore is going to be the sole source of the ebooks for the Harry Potter series. A lot of people came out of the woodwork on their blogs and in different social networking sites to say, you know what, I own pirated copies of the Harry Potter series. Now that I can buy them, I'm going to be first in line to buy them and pay for them and do the right thing now that I don't have to steal them. And so I think when you give people the opportunity to have access to a book, they will do it legally if you make it easy and if you make it streamlined, of course, if it fits their device, and if they don't have to jump through massive hoops to do it. So I don't see the concerns that a lot of people are going to have. People have already come out against Overdrive's initiative saying, well, you know, how is this one-user checkout system going to work? Conceivably, the book will no longer disappear from the device after the checkout time period is over. I think when you're talking about people who are going to the effort to purchase an e-reader and to look for a lending library, I think people are basically going to be honest and do the right thing. And so if I'm not supposed to have the book anymore, you know, I would let the library know. I certainly wouldn't go passing it around to people. You know, I would expect them to go to the library and get it themselves. So I think it's going to be a good initiative.
I think so too. I think partly why the DRM-free model might work with Overdrive is just because there's less hoops that you have to jump through to copy the ebook to your device. If it has no DRM, you probably don't need Adobe Digital Editions, which a lot of casual people that might take advantage of this lending process, they maybe not even heard of it before, or they might not even know how the program works, but they do know how to copy, you know, music or content to their e-reader via, say, Windows Explorer, or, you know, a very common method methods. So with the DRM free books, you'll be able to just download the book to your computer and then just copy and paste it right to your device, which I think is a good direction for OverDrive to move into. You know, all the piracy and logistics aside, I think that the end user, I think, would have more... It would be easier for, say, a non-techno-savvy person to be able to just straight copy-paste it to their device. You have some other news on one of our lead stories, which is Algonquin and their bundling digital copies of books.
Exactly. Just a few minutes ago, we talked about publishers and how they're trying to keep up and make the transition to a print and digital world. We've heard a lot of reports. First, we heard that ebooks were going to be the death of the print industry. We also heard that ebooks were a flash in the pan. They weren't going to catch on. Books aren't going anywhere. Now, what we're really hearing from these conferences and from speakers and from heads of publishing industries are that books and ebooks are going to survive side by side, and in some kind of symbiosis. Well, here we see Algonquin Publishers under the Workman Group, their parent company, is actually trying out a model to get people into the stores. So during the month of July, 300 Barnes & Noble locations around the country, if you go into the store and purchase a trade paperback published by Algonquin, and these are not backlist titles, these are current paperbacks, you will be given a discount to purchase an ebook, a separate title, not the same book, for $3. So basically, you're going to get a trade paperback and an ebook for a very low price from 24 different titles to choose from. Bob Miller from Workman Group spoke to me this week and assured me these are not, you know, something they found in the closet they wanted to get rid of. These are really current titles. They're on the Algonquin Book Club listing. Something else they're trying that is very exciting. I spoke to him about it. He said they're trying it out with this one book. I really hope this catches on. What they're doing now is with Hillary Jordan's new book, When She Woke, which will release later this fall, they're going to, with the purchase of the hardcover copy of the book, you will have a digital download of the book as well. So same book. So you'll have a print edition and an ebook edition of the same book. I really hope they try that with a lot more of their titles. So it sounds very exciting. I likened it in our article that we posted on GoodyReader this week to what the movie industry is doing now. When you purchase a DVD, you can purchase the combo pack and have a digital download of it. And you might wonder why you need two different versions of the same movie, or in this case, the same book, because you've got them in different locations for your convenience. Yes, I have the DVD of a movie to watch at my house, but I also have a copy of it in my laptop to take on the road with me or to have when I'm out and about. The same thing is true of my book. If I really love print books and hardcover text, I've got it for in the house for curling up with and reading a good book for the evening, but I also have a digital copy in my e-reader to take with me on the go. I really hope this is something that catches on, and I think Algonquin is leading the way in getting people, first of all, into those bookstores to take advantage of these specials, but also going back and buying the print edition knowing they're going to get the free digital edition.
I totally agree. I think it's imperative that Algonquin sees some sort of interest or people taking advantage of these authors of these books and the deals, because I think that based on their success, I think a lot of other publishers and a lot of other companies may tend to follow suit. And I like the fact that they're going to be able to give away with the purchase of the hardcover a digital copy, because you mentioned, you know, when you purchase a DVD or a Blu-ray and you get the digital copy, that's good. But when you look at, say, Blu-ray and DVD, a lot of those technologies are popular now, but will there be something better than Blu-ray 2 years from now? And if so, you know, your Blu-ray copy is almost useless, but your digital copy will always be relevant because, you know, no matter how much DVDs and Blu-rays and next-gen technology changes, the digital copy will always work. And I know for myself, I would love to buy a hardcover book and have the digital copy, because I lend my hardcover books out a lot. And, you know, despite the fact that they're very expensive, I buy a lot of books. And I have about 6 bookshelves just overflowing with books. And I tend to lend them out a lot. But in the same respect, sometimes the book will get damaged. The person I lend it out to may not return it, but at least I have the digital copy always to fall back on that I can load into my iPad, my e-reader. I can read on my PC, my netbook, laptop, or whatever device. So I really dig this sort of initiative that Algonquin's doing about giving away the digital copy with the purchase of the book. And I really do hope that other companies follow suit. If anything, like you mentioned, Mercy, that it gets people going to the bookstores. And if anybody's aware of the current state of bookstores in the world, a lot of them are going out of business, you know, despite the fact that the economy is not doing too well globally. You know, you see a lot of things in the news about borders closing locations. If you're in Australia, Red Group, Borders, Angus and Robertson, and big companies that have been around for hundreds of years are going out of business because people just aren't buying books in a bookstore anymore. People more so are buying their books digitally and online. And so a lot of bookstores are going out of business, where if they sort of transition to the model where if you go into the bookstore and buy the book, you'll get the digital copy for free, I think that that will not only help out the chain bookstores, but that'll also help out independent bookstores, mom and pops, you know, type of bookstores, and, you know, so on. What do you think?
I think it's a great move to get people to see the benefits of both the print and the digital. And so, therefore, like you were saying, bringing them back into the store. If I come into a bookstore to get my discounted ebook or to select an ebook that's part of this bundled discount they're offering, what are the chances I'm not going to see something else in the store that is worth reading? Even if I just pick it up and thumb through it, I might purchase the print book that day, or I might come back to it later and say, you know, that was really great, I really enjoyed that, let me get that on my Nook. And so I think this is just going to spread the entire sales growth of books in general, whether they're print or digital.
Speaking of the Nook, I really like what Barnes & Noble is doing, where if you bring your Nook or, you know, your Nook e-reader in any Barnes & Noble locations, you can actually just read full books if you want out of any book that's actually in the Barnes & Noble store on your e-reader. So it really helps people not only discover new books, but you're not limited to, say, a sample chapter, but you could read half the book if you wanted to, just chilling out in a store one day, drinking a coffee from Starbucks or whatever type of cafe that they have in their different locations. And I think that that's probably one of the reasons that Barnes & Noble, their bookstore chain, does really well, and why the store as a company is not really into a lot of trouble, because they've really taken advantage of the whole ebook revolution by selling ebooks online, selling e-readers in the store, and actually getting the people who have e-readers just to not sit at home and buy ebooks all day. But if you actually go to the store, you could read, you know, random buys, but you could also, like you said, get the impulse buys, where you may just see a paperback, you know, discounted one or something like that, where, you know, hey, regularly this is $15, it's on sale for $2, so I'll just buy that, right?
Exactly. So it was a great initiative to get people to see the value in still coming into the store. And of course, that translates, that trickles down throughout the whole industry, because if I'm likely to drive into town, if I'm used to going into my Barnes & Noble store, of course I'm going to check out this independent bookstore downtown too, because I happen to be by there. So if I'm still in the habit of shopping in a brick and mortar bookstore, that's going to do nothing but help the independent bookstores and the smaller shops that you mentioned.
I totally agree. And I touched on Barnes & Noble. You actually have some news on Nook owners.
I do. Actually, the press release came out that Nook subscribers to the New York Times newspaper were now going to be given access to NewYorkTimes.com. Typically, any newspaper around the country, their website will have the basic snippets of articles or pertinent information or open access to, say, the classifieds or the obituaries. But in order to get the entire article, the blogs, the comment sections, the letters to the editor, things like that, you had to actually be a subscriber. Now the New York Times has come along and said, well, we consider our digital subscribers to be part of our family too. So if you have subscribed to the New York Times through Nook, you're now allowed access to the NewYorkTimes.com website. Then the follow-up came out too. Kindle has done the same thing. So this is really an initiative through New York Times, not through any of the e-reader companies. But now New York Times is one of the first large sites to recognize, you know, I don't need print anymore necessarily if I have my favorite go-to e-reader or tablet device. So now that I'm a subscriber, I'm enjoying the same privileges that a print subscriber is too. This kind of follows on the heels of iPad getting its subscription model in a setting that's comfortable for both Apple and for the publisher. So for a long time, magazine and newspaper subscribers through iPad were really irritated that they could not subscribe and take advantage of the full pricing benefits that the cover stand subscribers could. So this kind of is all just a larger recognition that people who are using the digital devices are just as valuable a customer to these publishers.
I agree. And just to clarify, Amazon has had this deal with the New York Times, I think, for about 3 or 4 months now. And I guess Nook is the newest one. So right now, it's mainly just anybody who has a Kindle or a Nook that can take advantage of the New York Times program. And I hope that more major publications follow suit, because it is important, and you can't really discount the way that e-readers and digital publishing is growing. I mean, if you look at any of the figures put out by any of the big industry think tanks, like the Pew Research and different articles like that that have come out in recently saying how big e-readers and e-books are growing, it would be almost folly to discount that if you're involved in traditional publishing, whether you are a magazine or a newspaper. Speaking of books and such, you have some news on out-of-print books.
I do. I interviewed two different authors this week, both of whom are in the process of trying to go back to their publishers, to their out-of-print books, and get those rights back so they can publish them digitally. One of the authors was Rebecca York, who is a highly acclaimed romance novelist who published through Harlequin. Harlequin does not release those rights, so she's talked to them and found that out, but she does have some previous books that were published prior to her agreement with Harlequin. And so she has gone back and is working on getting the rights to those books and publishing them digitally. She also has just published a novella to Harlequin's new ebook-only imprint that we've talked about in the past, Carina Press. And so she's now written her first book that will conceivably never be printed, even though she's a highly acclaimed author and has over 70 titles published with Harlequin. I spoke to another author today who actually... It was very ironic that she said she just on a whim said, "Hey, I've heard of these people going back and getting their rights. I went, my publisher said, sure, here you go. And I did. I put it up as an ebook and never thought about it again, without any kind of social networking or trying to push the book herself like indie authors have to do. She's been astounded by her sales just because of her name. So people who were looking for her came across her ebooks and made those purchases. So authors are getting very creative, both independent authors and traditionally published authors are getting very creative on getting their name out there, marketing themselves, and making those book sales to further their careers.
Excellent. So that about wraps it up for this week's Digital Publishing Synopsis. And next, we're going to let you guys know about all the latest news on e-readers. So in the last weeks, there hasn't been a ton of e-reader news, but there is enough to keep everybody interested who has an e-reader or pays attention to e-reader news. It looks like in the last few weeks, there's been a lot of digital publishing, a lot of tablet news, but the e-reader news has been kind of light. We ran a poll and we actually have the results, and this is, what new e-reader are you most excited about? And every month we run a poll here at goodereader.com, so if you want to participate, it's merely on the right-hand side underneath all of our reviews and all of our icons, letting you know that we have a YouTube channel. You can follow us on Twitter and as well follow us on Facebook. So we asked a question that I just mentioned, and we got some pretty surprising answers. The number one vote result actually had 54 votes and came in at 49%, and we had 111 votes total. And this was for the rumored Amazon tablet. Now, details have been sporadic, but a lot of component makers and manufacturers in Taiwan and around that part of the world have said, yeah, you know, we've had orders from Amazon for 400,000 units a month, and Amazon has, you know, pretty well been doing a lot of Android type things on its website. It's opened up its Android app store, it's done its cloud storage locker, and it already sells various tablets through its site. So in 2011, Amazon's really kind of stepped it up in terms of being involved in Android. So there are a lot of rumors floating around that Amazon's not just developing one Android tablet, but they're actually developing a few to hit at various price points. And everybody agrees that they're going to launch by the end of the year. So that was the number one vote And the second vote was for the Kobo Touch, which was Kobo's first touchscreen e-reader. This came with 20 votes, and a lot of people are excited about this one because it features infrared touch, and it is tapping right into Kobo's huge distribution system. They have over a million books right now where you can get classics, bestsellers, you can do newspapers and magazines and so on. Coming in third was the Barnes & Noble Simple Touch Reader with 15 votes. This was, we announced it when we were actually on location at Book Expo in New York, and we got invited to the exclusive event, and we did video and wrote all about it, and it has been released, and it's doing quite well as far as sales go. It is Barnes & Noble's second major e-ink-based e-reader that's all touchscreen. So many people are very used to touchscreen devices, with tablets being successful and with most phones being all touchscreen now. So it would make sense that Barnes & Noble releases a fully touchscreen e-reader. In fourth place, we had the rumored new Sony e-reader, and this came on with a paltry 12 votes. There really isn't a whole lot known about this. Sony is issuing their first tablet devices called the S1 and S2. And these are Android-type devices. One's a clamshell and one is a full tablet. There is a lot of rumors that Sony, based on their forays into Japan and trying to be the number one branded e-reader in Japan, that it would make sense for them to release a touchscreen, full Wi-Fi-based e-reader that could tap right into the Sony bookstore and Sony's content distribution partners. And coming in last place was, with 5 votes, was the Amazon Kindle with special offers. This one has been out for a while. It's $30 cheaper. The essence of it, it's very similar to other Kindle third generation e-readers. It is cheaper because it serves you ads. It does it on the home screen as well as on the screen saver. Getting into some news about Kobo. Kobo has actually opened up their first kiosk in New York at Grand Central Terminal. Up until this point, if you live in Canada, you might be familiar with going into any types of Chapters in Indigo, and they have a Kobo kiosk set up, you know, giving all the e-readers. They usually have someone dedicated right there to show you the technology, to get you some good hands-on with it. They also sell cases and all types of other peripherals. Well, they've decided to take their adventures on the road, and they are now situated in the Grand Central Terminal, and this is at Graybar Passage in New York, and they're showing the Kobo Touch as well as the Kobo Wireless and all sorts of accessories. They have over 4 specialists on site to answer all of your questions, so it is a pretty busy place, and they just started that Monday of last week. If you do purchase an e-reader, they'll actually give you a $10 discount on ebooks of your choice, so you can think of it as they're giving you a more or less like a coupon. In other e-reader news, some clever hackers have put together a new firmware update for the Entourage Pocket Edge. If you're familiar with the whole Entourage saga, basically the company is in the stages of going under. They suspended development of the Pocket Edge. They suspended their store, so there's really no way to get books anymore for this. And so what some hackers have done is they've put out new firmware updates that give you a lot more applications, and it makes your device a little bit more relevant by 2011 standards. With the new firmware update, this is Ermine 2.2. It gives you the full Google Android Market, Google Maps, Google Talk, and Google Voice Search, along with a ton of other options. And when you install this, it of course voids your warranty, so you want to handle it with care. The one thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't screw up the dual screen device. As you know, with the Pocket Edge, one side is an Android tablet and the other side is a pure e-ink display. So installing this update will not mess up your e-ink based apps or the touchscreen interactivity. So don't be afraid to do that. But of course, we always stress when you're loading in non-firmware released by the company, you do want to maybe err on the side of caution. Next, we want to focus on some tablet PC news. We do have some news on AMD. They're working on a new chip to work in conjunction with Windows 8 tablets. Windows 8 is going to be the follow-up, obviously, to Windows 7, and they're optimizing it to work on tablets. So you'll have the Windows 8 version that's more compatible with normal computers, but they're actually doing a version that's going to work on tablets. And Microsoft, up until this time, has not really had a great tablet strategy. They did develop their Courier-type tablet, which garnered a tremendous amount of attention, and basically they just canceled it, and that was the end of that. So they're releasing a new chip for Windows 8 tablets, and it was featured on a roadmap we just posted on our blog. It's basically called Hondo, and it'll work with DirectX 11 graphics. It'll be more or less, there'll be samples available in December of 2011, and it'll be power optimized Bobcat cores. It'll be power optimized, and it will be compatible with the Windows 8 market. And this is something that no one's really talked about, but Microsoft has kind of taken a cue from Apple and other companies like that that have their own app store. And Microsoft is in development of making their own app market. And this will be compatible with Windows-based phones as well as Windows-based tablets. So you'll have a place to be able to go to get to optimize applications suited towards mobile computing devices, again, such as phones and tablets. So with this chip that AMD is going to be able to release, they're saying that it's going to have low power, so it's only going to take about 2 watts, and it'll actually have a built-in ATI Radeon HD 6250 graphics chip. So this will enable it to take care of the 720p HD a quality playback. So it's not full HD, of course, but hey, you get it where you could take it. So this is just some news that we broke earlier this week on GiddyReader.com. You guys, if you're familiar with tablets and the HP touchpad that just came out, you'll know that it got some preliminary scathing reviews from a lot of blogs online. This was HP's first tablet-based device functioning on the webOS platform that they purchased by Palm. What they're going to do is they're working on a sequel already, and what they're going to do is employ 64 gigs of storage, whereas the two versions right now are only 16 and 32, so they're doing a new version at 64 gigs. They'll also be beefing up it so it'll support AT&T's HSPA Plus network, as well as their 4G network. It'll also have a white body style, and it'll have a new processor, so it'll have a 1.5 gigahertz processor, and this will be a significant step up from the existing 1.2 gigahertz. So, interesting that they're going for faster, more memory, as well as compatibility for 4G. So, this is some news that HP has just released. When we were at Computex in Taipei, we gave you guys a ton of videos on Acer's tablet lineup for 2011. One of them was the Acer Iconia Tab A500. It shipped out with Android 3.0, and it is on pace to get Android 3.1. So this is really being implemented right now. So the first place in the world that got the update was in Germany. So if you live in Germany, you got the Android 3.1 update. There's no word yet on when the US or North America will get the 3.1 update. So if you're the hacker or rooting type person, there are various places on the internet that we let you guys know of on our post about this. So if you want to manually install Android 3.1, you're more than welcome to do it. For users living in India, you will have to wait a little bit longer. They're saying in August will be when the 3.1 official update rolls in via over-the-air updates, and the rest of the international market will have to wait. It's a pretty solid deal. You get a 10.1-inch tablet, 16-gig hard drive. You know, it's roughly about $350 to $400. And it's certainly a tablet that really feels very 2011 in terms of build quality, in terms of the size and everything that comes along with it. So check it out if you haven't already. You know, you can check out our YouTube channel for all of the videos on the A500. And our YouTube channel again is youtube.com/user/goodereader. One of our lead stories was the Motorola Zoom price slash. And this is very important because it did come out into the market at a very expensive price. It was relatively about $599 just to buy the device straight up. Now it dwindled in price to only $499, so you do save roughly about $100. And if you live in Taiwan, it went from $19,800 to $16,900. So it did drastically reduce in price there as well. And so it's pretty exciting to always see a really high-end piece of technology lower in price. For one, it is more attractive for entry-level users to pick one up. I think that they could probably reduce the price a little bit more. If you look at the iPad 2, you know, roughly you can get it now for about $400, maybe a little bit more. So I think in order for rival devices that, you know, their whole mission statement is to try to take away market share from the iPad, to be able to offer a really high-end device at a really affordable price. So this is the big news, and a lot of people have been really excited about this because when we were at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, this was pretty well the tablet of the show. CNET and a bunch of other companies pretty well said this was the best device in show. And since its release earlier on this year, a lot of people have been really going all over this one. It was pretty well the Motorola Zoom, which up until now has been the best tablet of 2011 in terms of a pure Android device. And then other tablets have been recently released, such as the T-Mobile G Slate and the upcoming Samsung Galaxy Tab, the 10.1-inch version. So stay tuned for those. If not anything, 2011 is going to be really solid in terms of really high-end tablets at lower-end prices. The last bit of news that we have in the tablet news for this week is with the Apple iPad. We have mentioned numerous times on the blog, but this is really the first time we've mentioned it on a radio show, that they are developing the iPad HD, and this is due out September, and also iTunes is going to get 1080p quality videos. So let's talk about iTunes now. With iTunes, the maximum resolution that you can get is 720p. And this is all going to change in September or October when Apple will release its new HD Plus format on iTunes. So major companies have already submitted videos, such as 20th Century Fox and some others. And so they've released videos that go 480p, 720p, and now 1080p. So you'll be able to download videos at very high resolutions and be able to watch them on your Apple TV, for example, on your Apple computer. And now with the Apple HD coming out, you'll be able to watch full 1080p videos on that. So what exactly is Apple HD? Well, it's the spiritual successor of the iPad 2. It's not really going to change in terms of components and things like that, but they are making a higher end version for media professionals. The Macs originally claimed the fame in Apple's devices. They were always big with graphics designers, web media, animators, and things like that. And so they want to kind of maintain that philosophy with their iPad range because they know a lot of media professionals are using them, but everyone's asking for beefed up specs in order to be able to do more work on the go, to be able to show people presentations on their device with just the iPad right there. More and more portable media is becoming a staple point of the business world and being able to show people by hooking it up into projectors or hooking it up via HDMI to your TV. And so having a very strong media offering is just what the iPad needs. So the iPad HD will have access to Final Cut and Aperture, and it will also have a resolution of 2048 by 1536, so 2048 by 1536, and it'll support 264 DPI, which is phenomenal. And this is, again, what Apple needs in order to stay current. The new iPad HD will more or less be a consumer device. It'll just be relegated to media professionals, and so obviously there'll be a price increase in that as well. One of the other features that Apple's touting for this is their new augmented reality applications, and we're going to talk about this in an article that we're actually writing for this week. So one of the problems surrounding a full HD, especially 1080p, is that it's really impossible to stream it, which is why a lot of tablets don't really offer it, because you really need 10 megabytes per second in order to take advantage of online streaming, where iTunes, you don't really do live streaming as much as you just do the initial downloads. So with more tablets and more devices going 4G or LTE, it kind of gives you the ability to be able to, in the future, stream these sort of things effectively. But it is a good direction that Apple's moving to do an HD device, as well as make all of their other devices, such as the Apple TV. They're releasing a new version of it in the next few months to take advantage of the 1080p the streaming. And they know that most people in their homes have solid DSL connections or cable modems connections that obviously do a little bit better than a 10 megs per second. So that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the news. So we've given you a comprehensive review of all of the latest happenings in digital publishing, e-readers, and tablets. And now we have some sort of extras that we're following on.
Marcus, we have a follow-up on an article that we posted July 1st concerning iStoryTime's interactive children book apps. That they actually had one that came pre-installed with the new HP touchpad. It was the Kung Fu Panda 2 children's book app. And if you remember from the article, this has actually been the number one best-selling app in the iTunes store out of any book, not just children's books. So it was a very popular app containing actual imagery from the DreamWorks presentation, from the movie itself, from the characters' voices and so on. So it was a very high-quality app. The people at iStoryTime were very thrilled to be included on goodereader.com, and they came back later and gave us 10 codes for downloads for their Kung Fu Panda 2 app that we're giving away to any listeners or readers of the goodereader.com Common radio show. Remember, though, from the article that this is only going to be compatible with iOS devices and with the new WebOS on the HP touchpad. So I'm sorry, if you're an Android user, we don't quite have a coupon code you can use for this one. iStoryTime is working in that direction, but right now they're only for Apple devices and for, of course, the new HP touchpad. If you're interested in winning one of these interactive storybooks for your kids or for your content for your device, within the next 24 hours we will post a Kung Fu Panda 2 contest post on the goodereader.com blog, where you can go and leave a comment. Make sure you give us some kind of contact information, either your Twitter username or a viable email address, so we can inform you if you win. Again, we'll be taking 10 random commenters and issuing them one of those codes that they can use for this app. Coming up next week, we have some interviews, first with Megan Cook, the Director of Content for Novel. I'll be talking again to Bob Miller of the Workman Group, who's the parent company over Algonquin, narrowing down some more information on this exciting ebook bundling news that we presented, and talking to some more people at various conferences coming up on digital publishing, writing, indie authors, and so on. So look for all that information on the blog. And
yeah, and, for the contest again, when you enter, just say, I want to win with Goody Reader, and make sure you leave a link to your Facebook or Twitter account, because that's the easiest way for us to get in contact with you. If you do have a Discuss profile, just make sure your current email address is valid for that. And if we have less than 10 entries for this contest, well, you all win a copy of Kung Fu Panda 2. For this week, I know I'm going to be working on some Android videos for Android tablets. It's part of our July Spotlight on Android. So if you do have an Android tablet, we also are putting together articles on the top 5 best cloud-based solutions. So, you know, why buy an expensive version of a tablet for, you know, 20 gigs more of memory when you could get, you could pay $5 and get access to some cloud-based storage. There's a lot of solutions through companies like Google, Amazon, and other companies, including Spotify. So we're going to profile all of that and more. I know for the writing staff on Goody Reader, as always, we're always going to bring you the latest news on tablets, e-readers, digital publishing, indie authors, and a whole lot more. So try to make Goody Reader your definitive source on everything under the sun of everything I just mentioned. So just make sure to check it out. And as always, we do this Goody Reader radio show with myself and Mercy once a week. So we are listed on iTunes and on our blog under our radio tab. So continue to check it out. And for Goody Reader, my name is Marcus.
And this is Mercy.
And everybody take care.